Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one on What's Trending, the Royals now 5-0 on the season against the Chicago White Sox. 11-6 overall. Good. A 6:40 first pitch tonight. There is some weather in the Chicago area, so we'll keep an eye on that. But the plan is 6:40 first pitch. Vern's on deck show at 5:30. Brady Singer in his 2-0 record at a .98 ERA. Take the mound against another guy making his MLB debut. Cannon. I don't remember his first name.
Nick. Is it Nick Cannon?
Yeah, it's a good
Nick
guess.
Nick Cannon's going to make his major. At this point, the White Sox better figure out some way to get people to show up to the stadium.
Jonathan, not Nick. Jonathan Cannon. My guess is he has a few less kids than Nick Cannon as well. So that's tonight right here on 610 Sports Radio.
The only fear I have is, does he have a good changeup? That seems to be the Royals' early kryptonite from a hitting standpoint. That might vary how I bet for Vern's pregame show tonight, so we'll see. Next up on What's Trending, Patrick Mahomes, as we mentioned earlier, just named one of Time's most influential people of 2023. He has a full-page article in there. It's really interesting. Not just the royal stuff, but some of the other stuff. I think what stands out to me upon reading it is I got to interact with Patrick quite a bit in his early career here in Kansas City. I don't get to interact with him as much now, not just because I just don't cover the team the same way. He does not seem to have changed, even a little, as a person in the amount of time where he has gotten way bigger as a player and way more famous as a person. He still kind of seems to act like himself. It's nice. I think somebody had even pointed out in their time covering Tom Brady, honestly, and I know those comparisons always there, is that he had a really good job of turning it on or off, depending on if he was in the building or outside of it.
Next, I'm going to watch string some sad news out of St. Louis. Former Royals manager and Hall of Fame manager Whitey Herzog passing away at the age of 92 today. Of course, was a player for the Kansas City Athletics back in the 50s, but was a Royals manager from 75 to 79, and then with the Cardinals from 80 to 1990, World Series champ back in 69 and 82. A member of both the Royals Hall of Fame and, of course, is in Cooperstown. He was inducted back in 2010.
Next up on Watch Training, reports say the Olympic team's rosters are starting to get decided. It says it'll be headlined by Steph Curry, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, and Joel Embiid. It appears, based on the rumors, it's going to be star-studded for the Olympic team this year. I mean, Kerr made it sound like, and now Kerr obviously coached Durant at some point. He'll be the coach there. Other 11-man rosters suspected. They have not officially made these. Anthony Davis, Devin Booker, Anthony Edwards, Jason Tatum, Drew Holiday. I mean, it's just every big. And Tyrese Halliburton, Drew's guy over there from the Pacers. Great year.
That's right.
Lastly on What's Trending, thinking of the NBA, you guys remember a couple weeks ago the story and investigation going on with Jontay Porter with the Raptors. Remember there was some sketchy stuff with some prop bets and basically in some of the nights where
somebody betting all these Jontay unders.
Betting a lot of unders. He just happened to pull himself out of the game with an eye injury, things like that. Anyway, that is still under investigation. The latest with this is just from the Action Network that, according to sources of them, there was a FanDuel account in Colorado registered to Jontay Porter that wagered millions over multiple years. Now, it's a little misleading in terms of, I think it's a little bit of clickbait today, and here we are talking about it. He did not accept any wagers on the NBA or place any wagers on the NBA or college basketball from that FanDuel account. The investigation is still ongoing. We still don't know for sure if he didn't. But I guess what I'm saying, today it's not news that he wagered millions of dollars on sports. Nothing illegal about that whatsoever.
No,
so it's a little
but
bit
it adds
of
a layer. Like, people are always going to make the leap that is, he was willing to wager million. He didn't make that much money. for NBA standards. He was willing to wager millions of dollars in sports wagering, and then on top of it, there seems to be some controversy over his numbers. People are just going to assume that he's wrapped up into this web.
Assumption and speculation different than the legal problem. Yes. Like, we all assume a lot of things happen for someone did something. Heck, we were just
too nefarious looking on paper right. to not assume that.
So we'll see. I'm not telling you that he's still not going to get banned from the league, but the story today is a little clickbait-ish is all I'm saying. Like, because it's fun to talk about. Oh, my God. There's an athlete that bet millions of dollars on sports. There's actually nothing wrong with that.
No.
And the report, it says he did not they did not place any wagers on the NBA or college. Now, that's with one FanDuel account. What we still don't know is tracking back the bets from the nights he played, who those people that made the bets on the unders, can they link him to them? That's what ultimately is going to determine whether or not there's prison time, whether or not he's banned from the league, the real serious stuff.
Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, the guy did make millions of dollars in his career, even if he's a low-level player, so I'm not surprised he was betting a lot of money. That's all. That's what's trending here on Cody and Golden.
I don't know what he earned in his career.
$2.4
million.
We did look up Blake Griffin because he announced his retirement today. He made over $280 million in his career. Blake Griffin retiring today. That news also didn't get that into to what's trending, but you and I were looking at that during the break. We were like, how much do you think he's made? We're like, oh, maybe $150 or $200 million. No, $280 million Blake Griffin's made in his NBA career.
It was funny. Regarding the Olympic situation, I saw that Jaren Jackson was asked, like, if he thinks he'll be selected. He goes, well, look, I'm going to be sitting by my phone, and if they call, I'm ready. And it's like, not everybody is getting a phone call, Jaren, with all due respect.
Yeah.
Sorry. There's a limited amount of players that can be on a roster.
I have two questions as it relates to sports wagering and just like the connection to athletes. One, should the NBA investigate Bogdan for intentionally missing a free throw in a basketball game that got people free chicken? Should he be investigated by the NBA?
So
intentionally point shaved, essentially.
Yeah, let's explain what happened. I don't know. We're not in an NBA market. I don't know how many people actually know what we're talking about. Basically, the Rockets, it was the last game of the season. The Rockets season was already over, so there was no issue. Yeah,
so Boban intentionally missed a free throw because they have a giveaway for free chicken if an opposing player misses two free throws.
In the fourth quarter.
Yeah. And he's leaning into it. He's putting his hands up. Oh, me? And then misses it. Okay, so you say no to that. Yeah. Second question. Of all this stuff, I understand that you can't legally bet. Like, nobody wants people betting on their own sport. Should you make the exception for betting on yourself? What's the difference of, like, if I'm Patrick Mahomes and I'm like, I'm betting that I'm getting 500 yards today, only overs. Should you be allowed to bet only overs for yourself?
What did you just say, like, 2 minutes ago? Perception. That's why you can't. that's why, man. The perception.
Only overs. I'm not allowed to bet any of my unders. Only overs.
It's the perception, because people would be like, well, we know he's betting. Yeah, you can't have that. You just can't have that. Even though, yes, the whole, hey, you're just betting on yourself.
That Boban moment, I'll just be honest, it was incredible. This was the play-by-play of it.
Fans are getting excited here. There might potentially be some free chicken on the board if he misses the second free throw.
Oh, man, free chicken on the board.
Yeah, so that's why the fans are getting a little frothy.
Oh, they're pointing to you. Boban's playing with the crowd. Say, you want chicken?
Here's your job.
No, he gave him chicken. He's a man of the people. He's a man of the people.
You think he did that on purpose?
He did. He gave out free chicken.
Missed the free throw on purpose, which he's not a great free throw shooter anyway, right? So he might have missed it, and so now he looks great either way. Like, I did this for you guys.
He's like, do you want chicken? By the way, it was only like an 8-point game in the fourth quarter with like 4 minutes to go.
Yeah, it's the Rockets season was already over, so he's just like, yeah, whatever.
The diehard fan would be like, this is ridiculous. Yeah,
give the people chicken. You know, he's a fan favorite anyway, and he's a free agent, so everywhere he goes, people like him, and yeah.
Unless you're saying it's not going to affect his standing with the free team, Chick-fil-A. With the Rockets at all.
Yeah, he's a free agent anyway.
He is a, let's see, what is his? He is a 64% free throw
so
shooter.
He's smart. He might have missed it anyway, but now he gets to be like, I tried to do this for you
guys.
Dude,
he was leaning into it. He said, do you want chicken? And then, I mean, again, he's not a good shooter anyway, but it definitely looked like he was trying to miss the shot.
Oh, yeah, it was a free Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich, I believe, is what everybody in the crowd at the Clippers game.
People,
Do you think he's ever had a comfortable night's sleep in his entire life? That man is 7'4", 290 pounds. How could you even attempt to sleep at that size?
He's got enough money to where, my guess is, he's had plenty
custom
of stuff
made
custom
better,
made.
Right?
Have to be. And, you know, he's made enough in his career to where he can have that arranged versus just a random person that's 7 foot tall or whatever.
I mean, he has those appearances with State Farm commercials, and I think he's been in a couple movies as well.
He's made $39 million.
Okay. Ooh. Okay. $39 million. That's pretty good.
NBA money's insane. Who was it yesterday we saw just got
Grayson Allen got $70 million.
One good year, and he just got a $70 million contract.
Must be nice.
It's pretty incredible. Thinking of contracts and future earnings and all that, we know the Chiefs have some decisions to make with three names that keep getting brought up based off of where their contracts are at and performance. And those names are usually Nick Bolton, Creed Humphrey, and Trey Smith. And Nick Bolton did speak to the media yesterday, and he was asked about potentially getting an extension to stay in Kansas City.
Yeah, man. I've been in the state of Missouri, man, going on 7 years now. So it definitely feels like home. The fans, the community, open arms since I got here as an 18-year-old. So, yeah, man, staying here, man, it'd be a blessing, man. It'd be a dream come true. We can get that done in the foreseeable future.
Part of the equation always is the player wanting to stay long-term. That's not an issue. That's pretty obvious. The next one, and more importantly, is the team willing to pay him what it's going to take to give an extension. I still think out of the three names, all three are not getting extensions. I don't know how you can. You just paid Chris Jones, and what, you're going to give an extension to Creed, Nick Bolton, and Trey Smith while knowing in another year or two where you're going to be talking about needing to take care of Trent McDuffie? Like, I just don't think you can do that when you look at some of the names that are going to likely need to be paid. I think the most likely of the bunch to get the extension is Nick Bolton and then Creed Humphrey. I go back to some comments from Steve Spagnuolo. I look at the play of Nick Bolton, the fact they let Willie Gay Jr. walk. I think Nick Bolton gets an extension at some point after the draft. Unless, look, they spent a second round pick on a linebacker, then we're probably having a different conversation. I don't believe that that's the likely path in the draft. Maybe they draft one in the seventh round or something. That's okay.
Now, in looking at like the Eagles, for instance, we saw this stat last night. They have a top five played player at quarterback, running back, end, guard, tackle. So, I mean, whether you think that's going to be a problem eventually or not, you technically can afford it if you want to go that way. I've told you where I stand on the numbers. Olukun, the kid from Jacksonville, just got a contract for them, just got an extension, and that's the number I'm willing to go at. He is older. I'm not saying that's not a factor. Yeah. Age obviously is a factor. I don't think he's like 35, but he is like 29, and he will eventually be 30, I think, sometime in the next like 10 months. So that's not that he wouldn't get that, but that's about my breaking point. I think with Nick Bolton versus Creed, I just pay him top of the mark. I know what top of centers paid, and I just pay him that. And even to a point with Trey Smith, if his play stayed that way, with Bolton, there is a like, hey, if you're trying to like reset the inside linebacker market, like you want Fred Warner money, we're probably not having a conversation. I don't really want to have that conversation, or I'm not willing to pay you that amount for a team that will rely on defense, but has put so much money and asset into defense, someone has to go. That's where I think it's easier to pay Creed and Trey versus Bolton is. Look at where the asset allocation has been. You just gave a ton of money to Chris Jones. You spent a first-round pick on FAU, on George Karloftis, on Trent McDuffie. Some of those guys are going to get paid. You gave your biggest free agent contract a couple of years ago to a safety. Like, they have put so many of their resources on defense. Yeah, you know, I don't mind spending a little money on the offense for once. Like, I understand Juwan Taylor and certainly Tooney a couple of years ago, who's now not overpaid by any means. But, like, so it's not that they didn't do it. It's just like a cycle thing. More money and more draft picks have been going into defense. I think it's probably time to where that's where I would have a conversation about Bolton. Do I want to allocate more money and more resources there? Or do I want to spend it on offensive line? Yeah. I would put most likely to get an extension still Creed, Bolton, Trey.
Yeah, so we're pretty close. Just flip the one and the two. The draft will bring a little more clarity. I mean, everything changed. I mean, if they somehow surprise everybody and they take a center in the second round, well, then we're having a different conversation about that.
Yeah,
same thing with a linebacker. A guard, I think, is way more realistic. They draft a guard in, like, the third round, and we're like, okay.
That's swing guard, Allegretti's gone.
Yeah.
We want a guy who eventually replaces one of these guys, Tooney or Trey Smith. And look, Tooney's arguably the best guard in the entire league.
Mm-hmm.
He's a tough, like, think about this right now. If you were like, hey, if you were going to pay one guard one more contract and it's going to be 3 years, would you give it to Trey or Tooney? And you're like, well, I mean, I love Trey and he's so much younger, but Tooney isn't aging bad. He's been the best left guard in football for 7 years. Like, it tends to be those are the guys you pay. I've talked about this gold with you all the time. Guys who get second, third contracts in the NFL, second contracts are Pro Bowlers, third contracts are All Pro. The difference in the, and Bolton was Bolton a Pro Bowler this year?
I don't remember.
Is he one of the three best interior linebackers in the NFL? Like, right, Warner. Like, think about the other guys you kind of rank in there. He's probably close. But with Creed, nobody even argues it. Even with the snap stuff, nobody argues it. If I ask 32 NFL general managers who are the three best centers in football, Creed Humphrey will get an average rating in the top three. Bolton, maybe. You know, Trey, right guards, maybe. Less likely than Bolton, probably. So, I mean, that's when you've got to start factoring in. And it doesn't matter what the other 32 things, it's what you think. But you can.
Yeah, as I say, I hear what you're saying. But
I just think, like, group, like, and if you take a poll like that, that's generally maybe where your team would think. If you got to take an anonymous poll of that.
Yeah, we'll find out how is what they're saying about the snapping being correctable and all that real. I think it is correctable. And we'll find out with how they go about the contract stuff. They're not giving him an extension if they suddenly just think he can't snap the football. My guess is they believe he can. Otherwise, that's just the snapping thing is honestly a non-factor for me. And you're like, and I know it sounds nuts. Like, how could that be a non-factor? I trust the Chiefs on this. If they think it's not fixable, then they're not giving him a massive extension. If they think suddenly he just can't snap, because the Chiefs were very fortunate. It did not cost them games last year, including the Super Bowl. The snapping was not great. I'm sure Creed would be the first person to tell you. But if that's something that's correctable, then you should have no fear of giving him an extension.
Speaking of contracts, by the way, Ari Myrov reporting the Dolphins will pick up fifth-year options on both wide receiver Jaylen Waddle and Jalen Phillips. Waddle's option is $15.59 million. Phillips is $13.25.
So get one more,
fully guaranteed to the 2025. Yeah, until you pay Tua or figure out what the hell to do with Tua, you just keep paying the other guys around him and try to put together a season. That makes sense.
And maybe you move on from Waddle after that season. You say, all right, we're going to give this another go with having Waddle and Hill together. We'll give it another 2 years, and then whatever happens, then they move in a different direction, perhaps.
Yeah, it makes sense. I was just noted because we came across it all of a sudden. That's all. Speaking of the draft, since we were talking about that, maybe we'll do another mock draft sound later. Who knows? It's a, you know, we're only what, 8 days away or whatever.
Week from Thursday.
Yeah. Week from Thursday away from the draft. Sometimes we get multiple in at that time. You keep mentioning left tackle. I was just thinking more about it as you were talking about left tackle. And especially cause like we did our draft crushes, which we'll bring back here in about an hour or so. If you really want a left tackle, don't you just kind of have to move up? Can you honest to God say, let's just take the best left tackle at 32. Like, if you want a good left tackle to start day one for the Chiefs, and I think if you're taking one at 32, that's what you're saying. Don't you just kind of have to trade up if you're the Chiefs to ensure not waiting out tackle at 32?
Well, it's hard to almost answer that question without knowing, do they have one or two names that they actually, like, they, you know what I mean? So, yes.
Just assume that they do. They got one or two names they think are in that range that they like.
Yeah, I mean, if there is only one name left and they truly think he's got a chance to be their franchise left tackle and it's pick 24 and he's still there, but they're nervous some other team's going to take him, then I think the answer is yes to your question. If they have two tackles that they think,
and they're four picks
we're
away.
Good, then like, oh, well, then we probably aren't trading up.
What if they have one and it's pick 22 already? Like, yeah. The only guy left, let's just call it Guyton.
Well, that's kind of why I said, I said 24, but sure, 22. Like
22, 20.
I don't think they can really trade up from 32 any higher than like 24 without, to me, going too far with what I got to give up.
You think mortgaging too much?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's...
If they had to give up next year's first round pick, but they could get up into the 20s, would you do it?
No.
To get the guy they wanted? Not Joe Alt, but like whoever is
I wouldn't,
in that
man.
Second
no,
tier.
No, I wouldn't do that. And I know sometimes people can be overprotective of picks. I don't think this is being overprotective of picks. You know, it's just, we're talking about a first round pick and... It sounds so simple, like, oh, just trade up to pick 17. It just doesn't, it's not, this isn't Madden. I don't know if Madden would accept the trade or not. Going from 32 to 25 isn't even the easiest thing. Last year, the Chiefs tried to trade up. We know that for a fact. They were pick 31 because the Dolphins cheated. So pick 31 last year, and they couldn't get to 25. Teams wouldn't trade with them. That's another thing we don't even talk about enough sometimes. It's it's not only the draft compensation are you willing to give up. Do you trust that you're not paying a bigger tax, if you will, to trade up because these teams just don't want to help you? We saw the story even trying to trade for Deontay Johnson from the Steelers. Where
they should have just said they wouldn't trade him there.
Stephon Diggs got permission to seek a trade for the Bills. Anybody but Kansas City. Like, this is the reality of where we're at with this football team.
In their head. That's what matters. Hey, Drew, I did promise a few didn't know, our show streams on YouTube and Twitch and Twitter and other platforms. Someone over there, one of the past specials, like, his name is Micah. He said, "Yo, Drew, Bengals suck!" with 3 exclamation points. That's it. That's all I had to offer for you.
Somebody earlier was like, do you want to give us your crummy Bengals crushes at 32?
Your Bengals draft crushes? You got one Bengals draft crush?
I've got
just give us one. What pick are they again?
18.
18.
Give you one? Yeah. Well, Johnny Newton would be one, but I'm going to give you Tyleese Fuaga from Oregon State, the tackle. If he's there, that's A+.
Drew's sick of watching Joe Burrow get his ass.
He can't stay healthy.
The crowd,
stay healthy, you know?
Sick and tired.
If my quarterback can't stay healthy, I got to protect him. That's true. I mean, I would like the Chiefs to.
Even when they do go and sign
guys,
he's still
getting. They've done that for Andrew Luck in Indianapolis, but he's still playing football.
Even when they do sign guys, he's still getting chased around. That's just police. And that's the thing. The Bengals have really struggled at drafting tight ends, like we talked about briefly earlier, and tackle. They have been horrible at it.
Chiefs have been drafting.
I just want him to pick one lineman that can be your franchise right tackle or whatever you want it to be.
I'll be honest with you. Probably shouldn't do that at 18 then. I mean, it's not that you can't get it there. I'm definitely not saying you can't get a franchise tackle at 18. It does occur. You are more likely to get it at like 9.
Yeah, they're too good for that. Unless they, and if they do trade up, I think it's to get like Roma Dunze. If they do trade up, I don't think it's to...
I mean, 1 year of Adunze with Higgins and Jamar Chase would be pretty wild.
Yes.
But again,
yes,
if Jake Browning's throwing the football in week 13, it doesn't matter.
Browning had a pretty good year.
It's a good point. You know, he almost beat the Chiefs. Almost beat the Chiefs.
I mean, a lot of almost. The Niners almost beat them. The Eagles almost beat them.
On their way to a second consecutive Super Bowl title. I don't care who almost beat
them. Buffalo almost beat them in a playoff game.
I feel a lot different about that.
I have nothing to go to get at you guys with now either, which is
juice. It's tough, man.
You're in a bad spot until something changes maybe this year or something.
Even if they beat him this regular season, it still doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
It's excellent. Why is Cincinnati pick 18, Drew?
Because they suck.
Because Joe Burrow got hurt.
They missed the postseason. Yep. Look, a lot of this just goes back to the same stuff we talk about these players all the time. Like, it's just, if you can't, like, you can't talk trash about the Chiefs until further into the season, at least a little next year.
But even when you talk trash in October because they're one game under 500, who cares?
I saw the Warren Sharp tweet yesterday. It said that the Chargers have, like, the second easiest projected schedule in the NFL right now. And they had the third hardest last year. They were 0-8 against playoff teams last year.
Jeez.
And were really good against bad teams below 500. I was like, I don't care. They're still going to win 8 games.
It's early for strength of schedule stuff. I got to see where this draft is. I was surprised Warren Sharp put that out yesterday. I know it's his are based off of Vegas win totals, which is fine. I don't know how you could even bet a win total right now until I know who's drafted where. Like, I have no interest in betting a win total. Like, I get it. We all have a decent idea of who we think are the 3 best teams heading in next season. But I do kind of want to know where Marvin Harrison Jr. is going, where Caleb Williams, I do know where Caleb Williams is going. But
yeah, you know where he's going.
But I would like to know where some of these players are going.
I'd like to know where Adunze or any of them.
Schrager did have Marvin Harrison Jr. going to the Chargers at 5, by the way.
I hope not. I hope not. I'll be
the win totals aren't new now. These are just like projected win totals, right? I can't. I bet a win total now?
There's some. I think it's DraftKings maybe. Not all the books have it. There's a couple books that have win totals already out there. I just don't know how you can be doing an NFL future bet right now.
Like, I'm betting Falcons 9.5 win total right now.
I kind of like the over. With Kirk Cousins as the quarterback.
-130. You got to get some juice.
Yeah. But I got to wait till the draft happens. I want to find out if there's another trade.
Bears 8.5, according to this.
How long do you think the Bears take to actually turn in the card? All 15 minutes?
What's that?
How long do the Bears take to turn in the card? Because
it's a free commercial, man.
Spotlight. Talk about your team.
That was one of the
things. I hate it too, but they do it.
Well, that was something like last night, everybody was like, thank God for the Fever not taking the entire time to just turn in Caitlin Clark's card. You know, it was very quick, where the Bears will take every single last second. They get to talk. They're going to be talked about twice because they have 2 picks. At least right now they do.
Oh, the last 3 months has been the Bears Super Bowl.
Isn't that embarrassing?
Their
2 years in a row, they've
been so
like
embarrassing.
Kings of the draft. Not a position to be in the NFL. Going to be Kings of the League, but you know.
Coming up next, we'll get to the Royals, who are in a nice position so far to start this MLB season, in particular what they're getting from that starting pitching. You want to hear what Vinny Pasquantino also had to say about where this team is at next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The payoff pitch and a swing and a grounder right to Adam Frazier at second. He'll pick it up, fire to Vinny. That's the inning. Seven scoreless innings tonight for Seth Lugo as we go to inning number eight. Jake will have it with the Royals up 2-0.
Steve Stewart, Royals Radio Network, right here on 610 Sports Radio last night. Seth Lugo was stellar again last night, and he continues this trend of where the rotation is at. As we've been discussing, he now has a 1.05 ERA through four starts with the Royals.
Singer's got a 0.98. He starts tonight.
Yeah. Michael Wacha's got a 4.0 ERA.
Embarrassing.
And then your fifth starter, Alec Marsh, 4.32 ERA in one quality start. He had 11 quality starts in 17 games for the rotation. And you think about when he signed, Seth Lugo signed with this team, we mentioned, okay, 1 year in San Diego as a starter. All right, that was great, but there was still some skepticism. All right, is he a starter for sure in this league?
But then they started talking about like him being an opening day guy.
And now you see why he was under consideration, because he looks fantastic for this team, and he was great last night. And this, to me, is a great sign of not just for this year, which is ultimately what we're discussing, but if this front office is able to evaluate talent and make some tweaks with the pitching development like they have with two of the last biggest acquisitions, it gives you a ton of faith in eventually when they have guys come up through the system in evaluating that talent. Like, Cole Reagans didn't pitch anything like this, as we know, when he was with Texas.
The Royals he's also had two injuries and didn't pitch very much for Texas.
The Royals, there's a few things they saw in tweaks. He was receptive to it. And now look at the results. Seth Lugo had converted to a starter last year with the Padres, had a really nice season. Royals believe, no, this is something that he can continue to prove he's a starter in this league. And so they're just hitting on everything right now. I mean, think about the offseason J.J. Piccolo has had. I understand it's still early. Seth Lugo looks like an incredible signing already. Michael Wacha looks like a pretty damn good signing. Cole Reagans last year was the acquisition.
Even of all the young pitchers, choosing Brady Singer, that counts.
Yeah, and in the bullpen, you know, I know there's been some frustration at times on the Will Smith route, but from, I know Vern last night was talking about during his postgame show, you know, Will Smith, from a leadership aspect as well, brings a ton to the table and now seems to have settled in after some struggles.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, we talk about this with Brett Veach all the time. The way it's going right now, and obviously we can wait until the end to make a final verdict on this. Did J.J. Piccolo just pitch a perfect offseason? It's pretty close, wasn't it?
Looking like it.
I mean, Seth Lugo might be the absolute steal of all of free agency. I'm not talking about for the Royals. I am talking about an all of baseball. Look at the cost dollar versus performance you're getting out of Seth Lugo right now. And that's better than what you're getting dollar for donuts for Shohei Ohtani. It doesn't really matter. And he's not pitching yet, but you get the point. For every dollar you spend, the value you get out of that dollar, especially when you're the Royals, becomes ever important. And the pitching staff has been, I would argue, perfect. Like, I understand not every start has been perfect. There is no way on any planet you can ask them to do more than what they've done at this point from a starting pitching department.
And the report when the Royals signed Seth Lugo to what, 3 years, $45 million, that he declined a 4-year deal from the Padres before he signed with the Royals. And that's pretty telling too.
More per year, reportedly.
Right. But still, that they were able, and they had to offer some opt outs to make these deals happen. But boy, oh boy, it looks like they might have flat out had a perfect offseason, and someone's right as well, a perfect trade deadline last year. That's a credit right now to J.J. Piccolo and what this front office is doing.
That deal is going to continue to go down as one of the best in Royals history at the rate it's currently going. This was Tim Kirchen. He was on the morning show on Fesco in the Morning this morning. If you missed the whole interview, it's up at 610sports.com. He had said, take the Royals very seriously.
The Royals are right in the middle of this now. This is, we all know, a weak division, a winnable division. But you look at everyone else around them, why can't they stay in this a long time, especially with the start they're off to? I mean, they've outscored their opponents by 39 runs already. And their ERA, as you guys know, is 2.86. It's the third best in Major League Baseball. The Royals have three shutouts already. They had six shutouts all last season. So the improvement is enormous. It's obvious. And I think it's already time to start taking the Royals seriously as a contender in this division. And I'm not sure a whole lot of people saw that coming even 3 weeks ago.
They were negative 183 runs in baseball last year. It was third worst. The worst was the A's by like a mile. They were like minus 300. But they had 183 runs last year. They are currently the number one run differential team in baseball. And while it is still a small-ish sample size, I'm not going to try to pretend to you 11-6 is some, you know, 17 games into 162 is some like big number. But it's no longer nothing. That is 10% of the season. They have played a tenth of their year, and they are the third best team in the American League, the fifth best record in baseball, and the best run differential team in baseball. They are pitching more shutouts. They have more games this year of 10 or more runs than they pretty much had all of last year. They have real talent. I think Vinny last night, when he got asked, how do you guys bounce back? He said, we don't bounce back. We're just good. He didn't mean to like snap back at Joel. He just means we're good.
Yeah, we'll play that in a second, because I loved hearing what he had to say. I think the stat last night, I don't know if it was the Royals that put it out, but the Royals didn't get their 11th win until early May of last year. It's April 16th and they got 11 wins. Just speaking to, again, how much different this team is. And we mentioned that on opening day. I remember we were doing the show on opening day. We said, look at all these players that were on the big league roster a year ago that are either in other cities, but some that aren't even on opening day rosters in other cities that were on the opening day roster here a year ago. I mean, they revamped this roster, and we've gone through it. They're not only getting great starting pitching, they're getting contributions from the guys we said, hey, if they're going to have a really special year, these guys also have to find a new
MJ
level.
MJ has to be good.
Right.
Bobby, you know.
You know, and all of that right now is happening. I still think that, you know, there's a lot of questions still to remain. And you should buy in for a fun summer and a competitive summer at minimum, I already think. But what happens when injuries happen? That's always the caveat. We've seen it happen across baseball already. We've seen it happen in this division already. How do they handle, at some point, somebody unfortunately is going on the IL? And what happens then? Do they, you know, let's say it's a short stint. Do they stabilize themselves? It looks like they've caught a break that Salvador Perez doesn't seem like a serious injury, because he tweeted at a fan last night, basically like, I'm good to, you know, I'll be back tomorrow. That was yesterday.
And now, reportedly tried to get on the field yesterday.
So maybe he's still not in the lineup tonight because they say, hey, let's just give you another day. Either way, we know it's not serious because he's joking on Twitter with somebody.
And it was a grade one strain, according to Joel Goldberg, I think.
But that's going to be the key. At some point, whether it's in the rotation or otherwise, if they have an injury, how do they stay? Is the boat stay afloat at that point? And at some point, when they maybe do have a two series in a row, Cody, where they don't play great, all right, are they able to bounce back? And I know, we'll play the audio now, Vinny didn't like the word bounce back necessarily. Basically, hey, there's a good baseball team.
Last thing, you guys have had this bounce back ability. Yesterday, losing that game, come right back. We've seen it over and over again. What is it about this team that has that ability to flush it so quickly?
We're a good team. That's what it is. It's not a bounce back. We're just a good team. We're not going to fall into these, you know, these mental traps of, oh, we went on a streak of seven in a row, or we lost this many in a row. We're a good team. We expect to come out every night and compete, and that's about it.
He sounds so feisty there. Everyone hears that, right? Everyone hears Vinny being like real feisty.
I think he's just fired up and he's locked in. I think he's just locked in, fired up. And these are the expectations they set for themselves. And now they're going out and doing it. And I'm sure they reach a certain point where they're like, all right, stop talking about us. Like, okay, well, this is a cool little story. Like, no, we're just a damn good baseball team.
Normally, you know, what's funny though, is like, that's what becomes so challenging, because it's been a while since we did that. the way you talk about damn good baseball teams is very different, because the way you talk about damn good baseball teams is very much in the night to night results. Did you blow, like, two nights ago on Sunday night when the game was 0-0 into the seventh? Like, how did you let that one get away? How did you let that game get away is the way we end up having those conversations with truly great teams who deserve that kind of attention. And so I do hope we get to that point. I really do. Vinny's hitting 530 or whatever since last week when he got hot again. Three homers, 10 RBI. His last six games have been nuts.
Yeah, he's been fantastic. And like someone texted in, and I don't disagree with it, said, hey, wait until 40 games, then we can see if they might be real or not. I don't think you need to wait 40 to see if they're real. I've told you there's nothing that can happen in April where suddenly I'm going to tell you, oh, man, they're winning the AL Central. But to me, they have shown, based off of what this rotation is going to be, even if the rotation does step back because they're not going to have an ERA this low, I don't think, all year. But they've shown they can be competitive. That at a minimum throughout multiple months, I'm already there. Like I'm already there that I don't think.
I don't think it's going to be a bad team 30 days from now.
Yeah, I don't think June 1st when we sit here and say, oh, wow, they're 12 games under 500 or whatever. I don't think that's happening, or 10 games under 500. I don't think that's happening. Is it too early for me to be like, oh, we're going to be here in July and they're going to have a six-game lead in the AL Central? Yeah, it's way too early.
You're not willing to go there, huh?
No, let's all pump the brakes there. But no, this team is going to have a chance. And I said before the season, you agreed, this division isn't asking you for a 95 win season to be competitive. You 87? Get to 83, 84, and you're within a couple games of winning this thing. Yeah. And so that means it's going to be a fun summer. Like even if you're now like they're an 81 or 82 win team, well, that means you're going to have a fun summer because you're going to be hanging around and you're going to be waiting. It's 82 is not going to be good enough to win the division. But if they're an 81, 82 team, win team, you're going to be right there and you're waiting for somebody to slip up and it's there for the taking. You know, awesome it would be. You said it, the night to night stuff. It is. You and I have not done a show. We've been doing the show for four, going on five now, over 4 years. And there really has not been many shows where in the summer, any, where we actually,
there hasn't been.
Yeah, on a Monday after a weekend series in June, actually felt like, man, we better talk about what really happened over this series. You know, that
decision.
If
we're talking about, it's all just big picture.
Yeah.
Hey, what could this player be eventually? Or if this player is struggling now, right? Brad Keller be like, can they refine themselves when this team is good? Everything was just this like big future hypothetical. I don't want to talk that way anymore. I'd much rather dig into last night's game and see what Lugo did and what the bullpen did, or the big hit Vinny got in the fifth inning to finally get to the starter, hit a home run to give him a lead.
Yeah, that's fun. I mean, this is fun. Like, enjoy the ride for now. I get the skepticism, and it's fair skepticism, by the way. And we'll see at some point if the play on the field changes the butts in the seats as well. The Royals are back home this coming weekend.
You should
go. If they sweep the White Sox, or it doesn't really matter what they do at this point. They've already won one against them. But if they come back home, I know the weather's not supposed to be great this coming weekend. But I'll be curious to see at what point do people start showing up to the ballpark for this team.
I did go back because multiple people pointed out that 2021 team that did start the season really well. They actually start their 15-9 in April. Mm-hmm. They then won their next game on May 1st, 16-9. What a job. They were up a game and a half in the division. Things were going good. Duffy had just gotten them the win. Do you want to know how long it took them to be below 500? May 9th. I am not kidding. That team was 16-9 on May 1st. And by May 9th, they were under 500 after losing every single game after that. Matter of fact, they lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 in a row. 12 of 13, 13 of 16 games right after that.
Did that prompt this one more win?
Man, maybe.
Was that the origin?
Yeah, probably.
I think it was.
Yeah, it probably.
Because they were on a long losing streak.
Yeah, that was. Yeah, it was probably the 10. You're probably right. But so, look, my singing works is really a point here. Gosh. And that's why I'm going to do a Mikel Garcia song.
I don't think
song.
You need a Mikel Garcia. He's going to be fine, all right? He's going to be all right. Can we just give
him. You better hope he gets a hit tonight.
Can we give him another couple days, please?
Because I'm leaning towards Garcia in the cover of Maria Maria, which was Josh Vernier's suggestion for a song. I was now, really workshopping
this. Can we make a deal here? So you decide which end of it do you like. Either you get the extra day, as in, hey, fine, do it tomorrow if he doesn't hit tonight, and that's the agreement. But the trade-off is then, if it doesn't work, then you're banned from songs for X amount of time. Or are you willing?
Days?
Or are you willing to wait the rest of the week?
I want to consider
there has
my
to be,
options.
There has to, you can't have it both ways.
We can work out a deal. Okay. I just need to think about it a little bit. I don't want to.
Because if he doesn't get a hit tonight and you sing it tomorrow, that's cool. But if it doesn't work, you're done for a couple months maybe. Now, if you wait till the end of the week and it's
you're giving me a little more flexibility.
Yeah.
The only problem, though, is that if you take the deal and say he doesn't get a hit tonight or say he doesn't get a hit, it's 30 days. If we're at day 20 and somebody else is really struggling, we still can't have a song for another 10 days. Maybe that's what
you're
the
saying.
Will
like
be.
This is a bad thing. This seems like a great thing.
I'm just saying.
Gold likes this part of the plan.
I'm saying potentially in terms of Cody not singing, there's that, but also you could have somebody else who's struggling
a
lot.
Right?
I don't know if we're playing with.
I don't know if we want to set the bar so low that any player now all year that has an 8-9 game stretch.
This is a 10 game stretch in which he's hitting 106.
For the sake of the Royals and the songs, I think you should wait until the end of the week, Cody, and then next week do it if he's still struggling.
Pretty good chance I'm just going to do it tomorrow. We'll see. I mean, I haven't.
It seems like you bought into that.
All I've done is. Okay, so I was going through different songs. And I won't tell you my whole process because you said everybody doesn't want to hear my whole process.
Yeah, we don't need to know how it's...
I'm going to tell you what step one of Cody does a song. The very first step is I listen to either the original music that I've chosen before or the cover music 25 times. I have listened to... The first song I was kind of leaning towards was I'm in Love with a Stripper. So I have listened to that song in the last 12 hours probably 20 times. So now I'm going to start listening to Santana on the car ride home. I've already listened to it a few times this morning. I got to make sure that the vibe and the feel is right. I don't just have it on repeat on your way home. Just repeat on the whole way home, and then I make some decisions. That's step one of my process. I have a very complicated process, but this is step one of that.
Random question.
For you, Gold, for you, Drew, over on the text line, 913-586-7610. Of course, you can hit us up on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook. We're on the video stream as well. The text line, as we had mentioned, I'll keep an eye out for your answers there as well. Question I have for you today is, am I being held hostage? I told you over the weekend I had gone to my daughter's dance competition, her very first one. She has another one coming up this weekend. But, you know, as part of these things, they have some very strict rules, Gold, including you're not allowed to take your own photos or take your own videos of their performance. This is obviously, of course, so that they can sell you the very good, I will say, photos and very good video they took of my kids. The question I have is, am I being held hostage? Is, let me tell you the price. So for each video, she did four dances in said competition. For each video, for the full video, they would like $52 per video.
Oh.
And then they have photos, of which they take like 90 of the whole thing. You're not going to buy all 90 of the same dance. If you wanted to buy the whole thing, it's like $60 per dance for just the photos. But you can individually break them off for, I don't know, $5 or $6 a piece or whatever the hell it is. So am I being held hostage for this footage, or should I start recording these against their own company rules?
This seems like this is the first week of... Dance Dad.
I'm already trying to change the system a little bit, I'll be honest.
I think this is just the reality of what it's going to take.
Someone
man.
Says, welcome to the dance
I feel
world,
like
man.
That's probably what, I mean, to answer your question, should you pay? Is there not a way you guys as a, you know, can you get a group of people to chip in and you can just share the video at a later date?
We'll definitely do some of that. I'm not denying that because some of the dances obviously she's in with other people.
That seems like the move because the pricing's outrageous, but I feel like you're just getting started, man.
Someone says, this is straight up extortion. She's going to have three of these things. So what am I in? Like a G in photos? Just photos?
I feel like you should have, are you able to like look at the photos before you like hand select them, or do you just say, I just want them of my daughter, or I want them of...
No, like, you definitely get to, they label them out. Look, again, the photos are of good quality, the videos are of good quality. And someone says like, maybe it's to stop like weird people from taking photos that aren't your kids. I'm like, I'd like to think that that's not what's happening.
I think that's going to the dance competition.
I think they just want to charge you. Someone says that is an insane price. Never pay that.
Yeah, don't pay
but
that.
But my daughter wants to see her dances. I have to pay for the dance. I got no out there.
Can you? This was her first ever dance competition. Maybe you buy a little bit more for this one and then you're done. Like, you know what I'm saying?
And then we just like one off it. Because the other competitions, the one she'll do this weekend, or do I wait for pricing structure? The ones she'll do this weekend are the same dances. The ones, you know what I'm saying?
Then don't buy it this weekend.
And then the ones you'll do for Nationals in July are the same dances. Do I just price shop a little bit? Find out whose fees are a little bit better. This is a different company this weekend. Maybe they offer a slightly better price.
I think you
should know the difference.
I think. Hold on. Do you have like a nice camera, or do you just have like
not allowed to? Not allowed.
You're
to.
Not allowed to take your own videos or photo.
I have a nice camera. I know, but I'm saying, can you? If there's a way, I would. It's gonna make noise though when you take a picture. Because I was thinking I would take.
You can't take pictures at the.
But
event.
If you could sneak, if out. You could, yeah.
I can't sneak anything. I mean, it's not. Look, I'll be honest. It's not big enough to go completely unnoticed if you're trying to take like a distant shot of your kid. It's just not far enough. It's not doable.
Okay.
I think you say yes to one or two for this one, and then you stop. I don't think you'd be buying these every competition.
She would rather have the videos than the photos, correct?
Someone says it's to prevent you from sharing other teams' routines for competition. But I could literally go on that site, I think, and just buy anybody's. Maybe not, but it doesn't seem like it has a code. Well, I haven't tried to click through it. Maybe there is like a protective code or something.
Hold on. You're telling me that there are Connor Stallions at these dance competitions?
There probably
there's
are,
There's Connor
dude.
Stallions out here recording and secretly recording like, for scouting purposes.
I believe we are describing the exact plot to bring it on.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to say for sure, but I'm pretty sure
that's cheerleading, though, but yeah.
Same thing. It's a giant dance routine. I'm pretty sure that we're describing the plot from Bring It On. Are there people doing that?
Someone said,
look, my studio doesn't seem like maybe. They would be anywhere close. To, are there studios out here taking videos of other people's routines, ripping them off, and then reperforming them in front of them at other shows?
Yeah, I don't know.
Damn.
Someone suggested you just get a press pass. Just get a press pass and claim you're actually covering the event. So that way you can record. That way you can record.
Or start my own media company so that I can just take these photos and videos and just get mine for free.
You got to get the contract, though. It sounds like somebody clearly paid some money for the contract and the rights to record this, and then they're selling them for $50 a pop.
Yeah, how do we get the contract? That's the question. Just give them a slightly bigger cut. They're greedy. And mine will be free, so it'll be fine. Charge the same. $50. $50 per video, man. I didn't think it was going to be cheap because I know what kids' school photos cost. They're not cheap. And they do them twice a year now. They do school photos twice a year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I can't decide if I'm supposed to just like
what is Life Touch running out of money? They need to do twice a year now? Is that the company that still does it?
Am I supposed to buy it for my kid twice for two different photos, or do I just buy one for 1 year like we had? I don't know. It's a tough, man. Someone says record it yourself.
They said, what are they going to do?
Competition security is weak.
Drag you out of the competition? Because Cody's getting dragged out of this facility?
Boy, that'd be a pretty funny story for the air if I got kicked out of a dance competition.
Yes, it would.
Someone says, buy one and sell the other copies to parents for half as much to pay half your end.
I mean, that's
also frowned upon, I think.
Yeah, I'd say so.
How many kids
are... And you have to have a certain number of buyers, you know? Otherwise, you're not really making your money.
How many kids are a part of her, like, the group or routine?
I don't know. 15, 20. Oh. Total. But not in every dance. One dance has 7 kids. One dance has 3 kids. One dance has, like, all 15.
Okay, so you're saying that if the parents wanted to come together and pay for it, it could be more money for one video because it's... There's less... Like for the 3, your piece of the pie is going to be more expensive than if there were 15 parents that wanted to come together and pay for the video.
Great idea here. They did have a live stream available for it. It was like $15 for 6 months. Someone texted me and said, hey, I'm a dance dad. I just screen record their live video.
Yeah, just rip the video.
And then just rip it later for the same price. You're like, okay, that's...
Just rip the video.
That feels like the future move. Problem solved. Thanks, everybody. Someone says we should just rename this Cody Solves His Life Problems question. Sometimes they're about other things.
That is the random question of the day. Up next, one thing that could happen with the stadium picture for the Royals moving forward after some recent comments from the city manager. We'll delve into that next.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.